This is David Astell on ABC Radio.
If you get out a map of the world and you see that big landmass that is Africa, then you follow Morocco all the way up to the little northwest corner. There's a place that kids might call Tangier, but more sophisticated adults would know that it's Tangier, and a very sophisticated adult is even living in such a place. His name is Brian Dore. He's a beloved satirist. He's a writer, and he's finding his new creative energy as a visual artist with a new exhibition that's happening right there in the heart of Tangier. Brian Dore, welcome.
Good evening and good afternoon, May. But how dare you call me sophisticated, David?
I'm sorry. I'll retract that. Do you answer to adult at least?
Oh, not really. Not here. No, occasionally people mistake me for someone that looked like me a long while ago. But no, thank you, but very kind. I'll send them up.
Is there a table tennis league in Tangier?
Yes, not a league, but I played district table tennis for many years, I'm quite famous for my table tennis. Actually, I have the rather unique honour of playing Bill Cosby when he was many years ago, when he was a stand-up comedian and not, well, we won't go into what he is now, but he was a mad tennis player, and I was working for a record company. Picked him up from the airport. He wanted to go and play tennis straight away. He was dressed up with all his whites off the plane, and we had to wait a half an hour because the professional hadn't finished. So I said, naively said, "Hey, Bill, do you want a game of table tennis?" And instead of letting him win, I thrashed him 21-11. And that was the end of our relationship, really, because Bill, of course, had an ego that went from here to the Antarctic. And we never really recovered from that. And I just thought years later, what was I thinking?
You're a callow youth. You weren't sophisticated then, Brian.
No, I don't think I really could be said to be sophisticated. Other things, but not that one.
Well, yes. Tangier, what's the temperature? Give us a little bit of a weather report, if you could.
Now, I know what the weather's like in Melbourne today, so I wouldn't do that to your audience, because the last 5-6 days, if it got any more perfect, I'd like to know how. Not a cloud in the sky, a very, very light wind blowing, which happens in Tangier, and 26.
All right, that's enough.
Like that all week. It never gets really cold here and never gets really hot like, say, Marrakesh or Fez or Meknes. So you're blessed with the temperature because you're on the Mediterranean and the Atlantic.
And
of
all the Moroccan gin joints to find yourself in, what is Brian Dore doing in Tangier?
Well, you know, look, at this time, it came about because when John Clark passed away, I found it almost impossible living in where I lived and in Australia, because I couldn't go anywhere because people just wanted to talk about John, about, you know, the loss of us, because that was the end of Clark and Dore, and about how I was feeling. And after about 5 months, I just had to get on a plane and come and go. And it was all coming from absolutely the right place. I mean, John and I had the most fantastic audience, and they really cared about us. And so it wasn't that. It's just that I couldn't grieve because I hadn't had time to grieve John going. And it was, as you know, it was an overnight death. And it was very, very hard. And so I decided the best place to go was back to where I was going to go anyway in about a year. And so that's what I did. And it was to get off at the plane at Casablanca Airport and have no one say anything to you was just such a relief. And so that's the main reason. But I was coming back here anyway because I'd been 4 times before. I loved it and I always planned to go back. Come here and for an extended period, if not sort of remain here, which is what I'm going to do.
You have been prolific since you touched down at Casablanca Airport. I have in front of me some remarkable pieces of art, visual art, multimedia, whether it's a kind of washy, dreamlike image of the Café de Paris, or whether it's a beautiful, poetic compilation of images from moons to clocks to ghostly sheets over chairs. How has the art helped you to heal?
Well, I think that this exhibition, I've got an exhibition on here at the moment. It's been on since the end of March. And also it is now online in Australia. What we did is to do the exhibition opening here and then do the online opening exhibition in Australia. So if people in Australia wanted to buy the work, and they can, sorry, I'll put in an ad here. You can scrub this out later.
Yeah. Luckily, it's a pre-record.
Yeah, it is. Consideredart.com, and you can see the exhibition, because otherwise you won't see it unless you do that. So we did that, and but that half of that work started when I was in Australia during the 2 years of COVID. And basically, you know, that's what I did during COVID. I just sat down and worked on this and just kept on working. And when I came here, I kept on working. So I ended up with a lot of artwork that I had whittled down to about 30 pieces.
And
but thank you.
No. There are some really beautiful pieces. They're very striking. There's a kind of poetic sensibility. There is things like the use of face, image, texture, tone. One I've got in front of me, a lure, which is really striking. It's something of a memento mori that's also imbued into a Hollywood and a Gothic image with writing upon the cheekbones. I'm trying to describe what I'm seeing, like Bride of Frankenstein meets an incredible sort of delicate Gothic model with palimpsest skin. These all seem as though they're as much dreams or as responses to poetry. What are some of the sources that you're drawing on here, Brian?
That one you're talking about, which is called Allure, which ironically was the first two that I sold, two of those when the exhibition, one here and one in Australia. And I don't know, there was just something about that model and that face. And then I just built on it until something, I just thought, yes, I don't want to touch that anymore. There's something about that I really like. And that's pretty much how I approach all of the work. People try and get me to write artist statements, and I refuse to, by and large, because I think the audience have a very personal view of what art is, and I don't need to tell. And I've had too many examples where someone said they've looked at a piece of art and said, oh, that's what I'm seeing there. And I think, oh, that's interesting.
It's like Rorschach's ink blot.
One really good example of this, there was a Canberra exhibition a few years ago. And I came into the gallery and she was on her own and she was staring at this work for 10 minutes. And I said, I'm the artist, what are you looking at? And she said, I'm a priest in the RAAF. And she said, every morning when I go from being me to the priest, I come up, I stand up from the... And she said, and that reminds me of my process every morning. And I said, well, that's what I had in mind at the time when I was doing it. Me reinforce the fact that no idea.
No
idea.
Just to remind people that you are listening to Brian Dore here, a wonderful Brian Dore. You will know him as a writer and a satirist. You may not know him as a visual artist, and there's a chance for you to see his work at consideredart.com, following the lines through to Brian Dore. And the time is now 9:45 in Victoria. That's 7:45 in Western Australia. David Astle with you here on ABC Evenings. As I mentioned in the introduction, you are a writer. Many people know you as a writer of not just the great scripts with John, but also to your work with the letters from Kalangadu and your other satirical writing. Are you writing as well as creating visual work, Brian?
Well, it's interesting because as of next week, at my opening, I met a woman who sang with her musical partner here, a Moroccan woman, spent a couple of years in Paris. And at the end of the night, and she said, would you be interested in doing a podcast with me on Tangier? And I thought, wow, a collaboration. I haven't even thought about ever having another collaboration after John. And I have to tell you, I found it because she's brilliant. She's clever. She's pushy. She challenges me. I challenge her. So we decided we found a studio. So we're going to start that. We've had about four or five meetings to find what we want to do. And she loved, I showed her the Clarkin door and she just loved it. She didn't get the politics, obviously, by and large, but she said, you know, the rhythm you two have was amazing. And I said, yeah, well, it was really all about that. And so the answer to the question is yes.
That's wonderful.
So we'll interview people and we'll write a bit and we'll, you know, and it'll all be about Tangier.
I think that says a lot about the satirical pas de deux that you and John did create, that they're a wonderful cosmopolitan woman in Morocco could look at that not knowing anything about the politics, but it can appreciate the choreography and the caricatures and the whole human energy of the skits.
Yes, well, that was the turning point for me. When I showed that to her and I saw her reaction to it and I thought, you know what, I'm prepared to do one more collaboration.
Oh, it's wonderful to hear. Liz in Ballarat, I think Liz speaks for many of us. Just a text coming through. I'd love to share it with you, Brian. Touched by Brian's honesty about needing to get away. Who will ever forget the Clarkin Doors partnership? Just brilliant. Many, many people across the state, across both states, would be thinking the same, texting the same. Brian, this is for you something of a creative exile and a sort of self-imposed exile to help in your own healing and your kind of new growth as a painter and artist. But for you, the idea of returning to Australia, is that something that you would contemplate, or it seems as though you've now really embraced the life of the Bohemian nomad?
Yeah, well, it's not so much the nomad because it's about here. Tangier is a very, very special place, and it's not like the rest of Morocco. It's not like Fez, Marrakesh, any of those places. It's got its own magic here, and that's why all those writers and artists came here to live in the 60s and the 70s, the Paul Bowles, and I mean everyone. Name an interesting writer in the 60s and 70s. And they came here. And I tried to explain this to someone, and I said, no, you've got to come here. You've got to sit in the cafes. You've got to walk around. And all my friends, I've had a lot of Australian friends here for the opening. It was my birthday and then last week. And they all get it. And there's a magic here that people did recognise. And I said to Milan, who's the woman I'm doing the podcast with, I said to her, you know what it is about Tangier? It makes you lose the will to leave. And she loved that. That was her story. She went to Paris, thought she'd run away from Morocco, like a lot of young people want to do here because they don't see the future that's in Europe. The trouble is it brings you back again. And it's very hard to explain. So this is no disrespect to Australia whatsoever, but there are things here in Tangier. I mean, remember that we're only 15 kilometres from Europe. And so you've got an influence here that is very cosmopolitan, but then very old. And you know what? It's taken me four visits to work out what I really love about it. It reminds me of Port Adelaide, where I grew up. It's a port town. Yeah. Where I grew up in the 50s. It's still got that sense of community, people helping you, caring about you, and it's very seductive, very seductive.
And a cauldron of culture too, I'd imagine, as all port cities are.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And I feel very comfortable in a port city. Like some people love Paris, I prefer Marseille. Everyone says, oh, Marseille, it's be careful. And I go, no, it's a port town, we'll be fine.
How's the coffee?
So there's that attraction, but it is the people here that I couldn't survive without certain people here. Could not. But I know that I can survive here if I have those connections. And these are not the expats. This is not the British or the French or the Americans that live here. And I tend to avoid, not avoid them, but it's not why I'm here. And I'm interested in Moroccan people, and I'm learning lots. I'm learning the language. I'm learning things that I just wouldn't have understood before. And because the history here, of course, was when the French ran it here, and the French still think they run it. And all you have to say in a taxi, you just blame someone who does something stupid on the road and just say, oh, Francais, and you're a friend.
You're a friend for life.
Absolutely. The price drops, but...
That's right. Suddenly it's not the tourist rate. I remember having to contrive that I was doing a Japanese poetry at Madrid University to extend my visa when I was living far too long in Madrid back in my mid-20s. Are you having to contrive all sorts of reasons about your creative license and attachment to place for you to extend and extend your Tangier visa, your Tangier stay?
Yeah, no, the thing here is I'm applying for residency, and that's trying to get a tradesman at Phillip Island in the same year that you require them. The Moroccans love a stamp. They'll screw away, and you come back and you say, but I gave you all this, but it wasn't stamped.
Oh, you'll be there for years.
You just plan it and you go, fine, it's going to take time. And, you know, there's the lovely Arab word, inshallah, which means if God wills. And so I just put the inshallah principle here. It'll happen, you know. So it helped me to actually really relax about that stuff that used to go, you'd get angry, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
They haven't turned up. And you just go, well, they'll turn up. It's just not going to be in your time frame. And as I said to a First Nations friend of mine, Paul Briggs, who is a Yorta Yorta leader mm-hmm. at Shepparton, and Paul said to me, he said, what's it like living in Tangier, brother? And I said, it's like hanging around with you black fellas in a different language. I said, it's the same. I said, you know, it's like, yep, it'll happen, but not in your white time frame. And so, yeah, it is like that. And and every day that I go out, something happens that just makes me smile, even if I'm unhappy or whatever. Someone will do something. I got a man down here. We call him Hello Peter. He's Moroccan. He sells newspapers, walks around Tangier. I'm convinced there's six of them because I see him everywhere. First time I met him, he just walked straight up to me, looked at me and said, hello, Peter, how are you?
Brian, we have to leave it there because you know how things work in radio land. There is things like the news which waits for no one. There's no inshallah here on Evenings Radio. Things march to a very strict beat. We've got the weather coming up. But Brian Dore, it has been an absolute pleasure to chat with you. A real kind of special postcard from Tangier tonight. If you'd love to see Brian's work, consideredart.com. Follow the link.
I'll just say one thing. I'm doing an Australian woman here's running an art talk tour with me in March. Uh-huh. And they can look that up somewhere.
Okay.
They might want to come over here, and I invite them to come over because they'll love it.
They will love it. You've already made us love it just by your descriptions. Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you very much.
Brian Dore, what a rare treat to talk to a man there in his own creative space in Tangier.